All right, guys, hello and welcome back to Daily Sales On Demand for CEOs, where today we are going to talk with Jesse Ecker. And Jesse Ecker is the CEO of Harv Ecker Online and the founder of Build Your Brand Online. And we have the blessing of serving Jesse and his team inside of Social Sellers Academy. So welcome, Jesse, to the show. I'm glad you're here.
Thanks for having me. I am honored to be here and looking forward to serving and offering as much value as possible to all of your audience.
Awesome. So I'm going to have you tell your story. I told Jesse when we got on, like I always like to chit chat, and I was like, I have so many questions for you, but I'm going to wait till we hit record. So, you know, you're no stranger to business. You told me you've been running, you know, the Harv Eckerd online brand for about 10 years, but what's your story and how did you wind up where you are now?
Many people don't recognize who I am, which is totally fine, but they recognize sometimes the last name that I have. And my dad is T. Harv Eker. He wrote the book Secrets of the Millionaire Mind, one of the more popular personal finance books of all time, right? I've been in the personal growth, financial success industry for my whole life, obviously. Grown up in the event industry and just watched. You know, it was interesting. My childhood was not of riches. It was very, you know, middle class. And then when the book came out, everything changed for us. Like I was 15 at the time. So vacations started to get nicer. Houses started getting nicer. It was like this, like 360 of like, wow, like this is, money's awesome. Like this is what the things that you get when you achieve these things. So but I watched him like work so hard to get that. And there is this very, you know, specific way that I see him like of getting this success takes a lot of energy, effort and momentum. So I saw that whole process go and it sparked my interest in being an entrepreneur as well. But my main thing was I didn't want to travel for work. And so he was traveling 250 days of the year, sometimes more, doing events. And, you know, as a kid enjoying the business success, which was awesome, but also missing the connection of like what, you know, a parent working in the vicinity gets, right? So my story was like, well, I want to, you know, help people. I like the transformation space. I love personal growth. On the other side, though, I don't want to travel. I want to be around for my family. And so that's why I started working online was, you know, having the opportunity to share his information to start out because I was not an expert in anything. I didn't know anything. I was a college kid coming out, but I knew how to market because I was able to just learn from him and I knew what skills needed to be, you know, mastered as far as being able to create offers, being able to write copy, being able to sell. And I knew that was something that I needed to work on. I just needed some assistance. So we co-founded Harv Eker Online. I took his offline programs, his events, put them online. We've been doing that now for a decade and we hit the multiple seven figures in the first 2 years of the business, which was amazing. So now it's like almost 9 years of running a multiple seven figure business. And then I just was getting the itch to start it all over again. So in January 2021, I started my new business called Build Your Brand Online, where really we teach people how to use virtual events to scale their sales through their coaching programs, what other programs they have, or their products or services.
That's such a fun story. I don't think I realized that you were 15 when the book came out. So I'm glad I asked the question and really got to tell it. So I also think what Jesse didn't tell you is that on top of starting a new brand, he has like two small children and all sorts of other stuff. Because when you're like a true entrepreneur, you just can't help yourself.
It's like the roller coaster of life. Like you have to make it as difficult as possible when you decide to start businesses in the best timing as possible.
Of course. Well, yeah, I mean, I tried to start a business for like a year and a half. And then when I was pregnant and I had 6 months to like figure out how to make money and not go back to work after my maternity leave, I was like, cool, we're totally going to do this thing. So, you know, I get it. I was like, I tell my poor child, Georgia's two-ish now, just over two. And I'm like, I'm going to have to tell her the story when she grows up that like, I used to refer to her as like, I literally had like a time clock, like attached to my body. I was like, this is the amount of time that I have to make this work. I am not going back to this full-time job after I have this baby. So George is going to hear that when she gets older. So,
you know, it's the strongest motivation is a deadline. So,
right. So let's talk a little bit about it. And you guys know, our listeners, that I love to talk about team and business growth. And so obviously, as somebody who has run, you know, multiple seven-figure business for 10 years, you know, it's about team, right? It's about infrastructure. It's about building something that, you know, I feel like you have very much led a self-led company at this point with, you know, with the Harvecker online brand. What are some of those things that were really important to you, like in the growth, as far as being able to grow a business that embodied your mission, your dad's brand, and still maintain the culture of like that small, scrappy, fun business?
Yeah. I, again, it's always comes back to like the foundation and the principles of like creating some sort of vision and like getting just really clear on what you want and who you want in your world. Right. Mm-hmm. And like when we set an intention and set a vision of like what we want, we seem to attract it much easier than just like, I know I need a team, but I don't know what I need in my team. And it's like, you're just like very in the middle. Right. And it's this decision of I want a team and I'm going to go get it, or I don't want a team and I want to do it all myself. Right. And so don't be in the middle, because that just, you're just never clear on what you want. So when it came to us, it was always like, what do we, first of all, what do we want the team to look like? Right. And how do we want to build the team for right now and for the future? Right. Mm-hmm. And so when I think about right now stuff, it's really simple of like CEO type of activities where you think about what are you doing on a weekly basis and where can you start to alleviate the lower level skills first to start to get that time back for yourself so that you can elevate the type of work that you're doing so that you can create new systems to then bring on higher level people to step in. So I would say you start with right now, and then the long-term vision is where would you like to go into?
Right.
And so like, that's where I would be thinking like vision wise of like people, personnel. As far as values, it's really just like having fun with it and not being part of the norm. So, you know, a great book that, you know, we read and we follow is Traction, which is the EOS system, which is a great one. It's an easy one to follow. And they ask you to create these values. And our values are very different than what most people have for values. So like, our value, like one of the values is be an ant. And it's like, what the heck does that mean? But people don't, when we talk about it, is being an ant can carry up to 10,000 times its weight. It all works as a group in a community for the better good of, you know, the nest or whatever they have. And they all work together, building that together. And so we have these different values that we kind of like put into our community, like be a Sherpa, be a Navy SEAL, like doing whatever it takes. Right. And the team buys into that. And really the difference between someone that's strong on your team and someone who doesn't make it past like, you know, the first 90 days is really your hiring process and really how clear you are during the hiring process. So, you know, we put tests in our hiring process. We just make it like hard to work with us. And if you get that far, you're probably going to have more success than someone just like, oh, you seem good on paper. So I would say, just getting really, you know, clear on what you want and also understanding that nothing's permanent. I've fired 60 plus people. Right. And that's okay. Right. Because every time that you hire someone and let them go is a learning process.
Right.
And, sometimes it's for the best, sometimes it's for the worst, but you know, every time that you actually do the experience, just like anything in life, you get better at it. And so if you don't do it, you're never going to get better at it. Right. And so that's the only thing is like, we've now probably done this so much that it's just integrated and it's easy for us versus, you know, thinking about how do we find the A players? It's like, we've just done this now a lot.
Right. There's so much good stuff in there that you said, and it's actually one of the things you talked about, you know, you start with the lower level tasks and work your way up. That's something that Kelly Roach, my business partner, has taught several times, is this idea of, you know, in the beginning we hire people to do for us, but then the higher up we go, we hire people to think for us. right? We hire people who can be strategic and thoughtful and see that big picture vision, right? So those first hires are the doers, right? It's getting the stuff off your plate that you don't need to be doing as the CEO. But then as your business matures, we hire those people who can think for us, who can be strategic. And then it opens up our brain space to be the true visionary, to be the true leaders of our company. So that's kind of what I heard you say. I love that. I also love what you said about firing people, and thank you for sharing that, because I think we see firing someone as failure, and we feel like failure. It never feels good, right? I'm sure if old people are fired, you're never like excited about it, but you also don't let it define you either. How do you come to that in your brain?
You know, again, it's like making sure that you're clear on your vision, and is there any obstacles that are stopping you? And and that's going to be people, process, or so it's the people, it's the process, or, you know, any other type of obstacles that could get in your way, right? And so your goal as the CEO is to continue to clear obstacles and make sure that there's no bottlenecks from you going from A to Z. And so people tends to be a bottleneck sometimes. And, you know, when you are really clear on this is what I'd like you to do, or this is your role and responsibility, and they're not moving forward in that, it takes up more mental capacity from you to continue to think about, are they doing this? Are they doing that? Right. And so you have a choice, just like everything in life. Do you want to continue to think like that? Or do you want to rip the Band-Aid off and start again and find someone who is going to replace it? It's very similar to relationships, right? You can be in a bad relationship and it's going to cause a lot of suffering, and you could stick it out and you can be miserable, or you can change the relationship and make it better, or you can get rid of the relationship and bring space for a new relationship, right? Yeah. Business is no different. So you have the three options, and most people decide to stay with option one, right? Mm-hmm. Even though it takes them away from the real speediest path to success.
Yeah.
So that's my thought, is like, you know, I either want to commit to making it better or commit to getting a new one, right? And a lot of times it just doesn't work out. So that's okay. You know, just like any relationship, sometimes it doesn't work out.
And what I normally will advise people around this, Jesse, and you can tell me your thoughts on it, is oftentimes if an employee isn't a fit or they're underperforming, A, they know it, and B, they don't want to, right? Like, we did an entire podcast around, like, your sales team doesn't want to suck, right? Like, nobody wants to work in an organization where they're not getting what they need. So I think sometimes we feel so responsible as business owners because we're the ones signing, you know, a paycheck, that we forget that, like, it's not our job long-term to make that person happy. And if we're not happy, they're probably not happy either. And I think we forget that piece.
Yeah. And I also, just again, like, from the amount of mistakes that I've made, the normal times that people don't succeed is simply coming down to, you know, setting them up for success.
Right.
And one of the biggest lessons that I ever learned, and it took me like 9 years to learn this, so if you're in business, this is like a great thing for you. Many times as leaders, entrepreneurs, we like to do new things, right? And we want to hire for new things that we haven't done. But the challenge when we do that is we've never done it. There's no proven process for that. So it's figuring it out. How many times do you have to like work through things to actually make it work, to figure it out? How long does it take? 3 months, 6 months, a year? But then we have this expectation of bringing someone in and we're like, it should be done, you know, within 60 days, right? But we aren't able to do that. So our process now for hiring is we only hire when we have a proven process that we can have someone step into so that they can have success with it. And then what we'll then go and say, okay, now that that process is systemized with a new person to delegate it to, then me or the next leader will step into the new project, work on that project, make it awesome, and then bring someone in to do it. Now, you might be thinking like, well, what if I don't have the skills for that, right? And that's where amazing coaches, like this program that I'm in, right? Social selling, we could talk about that. That's where amazing coaching programs and coaches, where the thought process, and I heard this from Dan Martell, who's an amazing SaaS coach, He says, build the people, let the people build the business. I'll say that one more time. It's so good. Build the people, let the people build the business. Meaning for us, we pay top dollar to get our team the best training and skills because we don't want to figure it ourselves out. So if you don't know how to do it, but you really want the position, you better go find someone to go teach your team to do it so that they don't struggle and then have real expectations when it comes down to it.
Yes. Oh, that's so good. That's so good about, you know, building the people and let the people build the business. And, you know, that's the part that people find scary because people we're messy, right? Like we're humans having a human experience. But like, that's what it really takes to grow past, you know, certain levels. Right. And I always say that like, there's nothing wrong with like, if you want to be a solopreneur or a solopreneur and a VA, like game on, like if that's your dream, it's just don't let that be the thing, the team piece, the people piece be the reason that you don't grow past that. So I think that that's important. So let's talk about the new brand because, it's kind of fun. Like we both started growing new brands in January. and so you have grown, you know, this amazing, you've been part of this amazingly successful business and you decided to build your own thing, which I love. And I think that that's a lot of fun, but like, what's the really candid experience that you're having right now in starting over?
Just one. No, I'm just joking.
Like I told you we have like 25 minutes. So you got like nine more, Jesse.
So I think the biggest thing for me is again, nailing the offer, right? Yeah. And it just comes down to making a match between three parts, your offer, your audience, and then the mechanism you're using to get them to say yes, right? And having that trifecta blend really nicely together is just a process. And I just forgot how long that process really takes. Because like, you know,
you had children 18 months apart because I know, you forgot what that looks like.
And like I'm sweating, right? I'm sweating big enough. No, so it's a process. And you know, I had like the blessing to start a brand that already did $500 million in sales. Right. And so when I was creating the mechanisms to sell what we were doing online, I already had like a working offer to go with, like millions and millions of dollars worth. So I literally would just take parts of that and make it. This is starting from scratch, never made a sale before, never done anything like that. So it's really about, again, making it a no-brainer offer, but making sure that you can deliver on it, making sure that you have the audience that you best serve with that, and then finding a mechanism that is best for your own strengths and what you want to do, but also is going to be effective to work with you growing the business and not hamper you in creating something that you don't necessarily want. So a lot of people don't really want a sales team, don't want to have the phone sales team, and that's cool. And so, you know, and some people want the whole sales team, want the big thing. So you really have to like think far and longer term and then try to work your way into it. But the process is like now I'm on, well, it's, you know, it's September now. So we're on month 9 and I thought we'd be, you know, ready for scale. And, you know, it's just a process. So I think that's the most candid thing is everything is way longer than you think. We're always so optimistic of how things go. But it's working the process that makes you stronger and better. And just being okay with that. Embrace. So I like to say, embrace where you're at, but don't settle for it.
Yeah. There's so much good stuff in what you just shared, not just the lesson, but what you're watching happen. And it's kind of fun. And Jesse, I've never really had this conversation on the podcast that Kelly and I had a very similar experience. We were both running successful businesses. We're like, we're going to launch this thing. It's going to be great. And yeah, the numbers we thought we would do in year one and where we are in year one look real different. But, you know, and we're like, oh, yeah, this will look this way. And so it's just been this constant iteration. But the reason I think that this is important is because I think that so often we get stuck in our head of what we think it should look like, right? Like it should look like this. And then when it doesn't look that way, we think we're doing something wrong. And I don't know about you, but for us, I never felt like we were doing anything wrong. I was like, we just we've got to finesse this a little bit more, right? Like, we have to take this angle. We got to do this. Oh, this is an opportunity for us to serve. Oh my gosh, I didn't even know this was happening in the market. 100% we can help with this, right? Mm-hmm. So I've never taken it as we're doing it wrong. I've taken it as we need to just take a step back and better understand so we can be positioned to scale. But I think that so many people take the feedback that you and I seem to be getting right now in our businesses and be like, yep, blow it up, start. This is, I'm not meant for this. This is not for me. But really it's just about trying to figure out, like, it's like a Rubik's cube, right? Like, we just need to keep working the Rubik's cube till we figure out, till it works.
Yeah. And I think that's the biggest difference between us and most people in their business is because we've been successful in a business, we kind of understand what it takes to do that. And one of the biggest differences between the very successful companies and the struggling or not as successful is understanding that when you focus and you reiterate on the focus and keep doing what doing, but not changing everything, but keep optimizing and making it better, that's where you're going to have success versus anyone who's watching and you keep feeling like you're roller coastering and not making progress. Mm-hmm. It's simply because you're abandoning what you've already done or jumping ship to the next thing where you feel like that might do better. And I heard this, my dad used to say this to me all the time with some of our offers and it's not what you're doing, it's how you're doing it. And everything online, everything in the world, like if someone's successful with it, that means it works, right? And the way that they're doing it works. And so if you're not seeing the results you want with what you're doing, it's not what you're doing that's making the difference, it's how you're doing it. And if that means how you're doing it makes the difference, that means that you got to change how you're doing it, not stop what you're doing. And I think that's the biggest thing where so many people are like, what I'm doing isn't working, so I'm going to try something new versus, no, how I'm doing it isn't working. Let me try a new way of how to do the same thing. Mm-hmm. And if you just understood what I said, you should make millions of dollars.
Yes, I love all of that. So I would be remiss if we didn't end this conversation talking about sales and sales teams, because that's what we do here. But what you just said actually is the epitome of what we do at Social Sellers Academy and the importance of having a sales team is what we do as an academy. Like, what I teach, it's not revolutionary. Like, it's not anything that you can't go find in a really good book, right? And we shouldn't say things like that out loud, but the reason that we're good at what we do is because of the mastery piece that we build for our clients, right?
Yeah.
It's not, let me teach you how to sell. It's let's drill this, right? And so what you just said was that's what it's about. It's the drills, right? Like we know what the race is, right? Like we know what we're doing. We know what the end game is. Now it's, we just have to keep running the drills. We just have to keep practicing. And we have to, like, sometimes when we're running the drills, like, we're like, ah, this didn't work the way I wanted it to. Do it this way, do it that way, and kind of bob and weave. So let's talk about that. We're in a new brand. You're obviously building a sales team because we have the blessing of serving them. What has that looked like in giving them the grace of figuring out what we're doing here and still really driving them towards that high performance culture that you're a fan of?
Yeah. I mean, it's an amazing aspect because this is a topic that we're not super strong on and it's newer for us. Right. And so, the reason why we, you know, entered into the program is because we want to tap in and leverage your skills of mastery of what you've already done and really shortcut us figuring it out on our own. So like, you know, you can put all the different value comps together and you can see how it works. And it just being in the program accelerates things so much faster and gives you like a real clear plan on how you make it work. So for us, the big thing is like, you know, just touch points on making sure that we are in the know of what's happening in your program, but also, you know, cluing in ourselves of who's doing what, how is Andrea as the amazing seller that we have for you guys. And she comes and reports back to us. She has a direct person that she talks to. We go through her KPIs together. And I know you guys do too. So it's really like, how do we blend both teams? But like the best thing about your program is you really take our stuff into consideration for your program versus like, we have to take your stuff into consideration for our business. And I think that's where a lot of people get screwed up is when they join coaching programs, it's like, do it my way. And it's like, well, your way isn't my business. Right. So how are we supposed to do that? So I think, you know, just, you know, constant communication is a big one. And then for us, it's really like being okay with changing things up based off of what the mastery and experts are saying, right? Mm-hmm. And trusting the process is a big one. So yeah, we might have sales skills. We might think we know different stuff, but you know, we're trusting that you are going to show us the way. And so the way that we think about this flow is first, we're going to copy what you do. Then we're going to experiment with it and see how it does. When we experiment with it, we're going to understand what happens, right? Understanding what happens, we'll report back to you. And then we can start to innovate on the understanding.
Yep.
And then once we start innovating on our own with your help, then we start to master what we do on our own. And so that's the process that we use, but we start with copying and experimenting first.
Of course.
And that's what, you know, we obviously pay for. And you know, you guys are doing an excellent job.
Well, thank you. Yeah. Well, thank you for that. And that's brilliant. And I think that's like coaching in a nutshell, right? Like when I started working with Kelly as my business coach, I copied what Kelly taught me to do. And then I started experimenting with different ways to do it that felt more in line to me. And then I started, you know, to be able to innovate in my brand. So I think that's such a great, I mean, for any kind of business, right? Like it's no matter, are we talking sales teams? Are we talking like, copy and not in an unethical way, obviously, but copy and then experiment and then innovate. Cause I think we sometimes live in these boxes where we're like, oh, well, so-and-so said, does it this way. I'm like, dude, if that doesn't feel in alignment to you, like if the idea, you know, we were talking about Facebook groups before we hit record, if having and running a Facebook group doesn't align with you, like that's not something you want to do, don't do it. Right. Yeah. Like, if, you know, like, don't do that, you know, go build a community on Instagram, go build a community on Clubhouse, go build a community on TikTok. Like you can build community anywhere, build where you want to build. So I think that's really an important thing to remember too, especially for the business owners we work with, is you guys are in this phase of rapid growth because we're so blessed to live in a world like we do today, and being able to like bob and weave and be creative. You know, it's scary, but it's fun.
Yeah. And it's all principle based anyway. So if you understand principles, then you can create strategy and then you can create the tactics that work. But then on the through line with that is the principles create the strategy and tactic, but you want to create the strategy and tactic that is what you want, you value, you think that you're good at versus what people say, because again, it's not what you do, it's how you do it. So you want the principle, building a social selling team, how you do that is going to be very, whatever way you want, it all works. You know, if you want to use LinkedIn, use LinkedIn. If you want to use Instagram, use Instagram. If you want to use Facebook or use all three, it doesn't matter. Right. So, understanding principles and understanding those principles that drive strategy is going to be, you know, the most important, but people just want to go right to the tactic, but then they don't understand the principle. It's like, give me the script. It's like, but you don't know how to use the script. Right. And that's why you're not getting the results you want, or not growing as fast as you want, is because you're going right to the tactic versus understand the principle. And that's what you pay for. It's really about that.
Yeah. Oh, so good. All right, Jesse, we could talk about this stuff forever and ever and ever. But tell everybody where they can come connect with you, learn more about you, and be a part of the community and what you guys are creating.
Yeah. So you could go on Instagram, where I am building a community on Instagram. You just look my name up, J-E-S-S-E, last name's Eker, E-K-E-R. You can go there and you can find a couple links to join our Facebook group, where we give a lot of exclusive trainings and access as well. And on Instagram or that page as well, there's like a link tree that has multiple things. You can download a free guide that teaches you how to run virtual events, and you can get in our ecosystem doing that. So yeah, that would be the best place. We'd love to connect with you. And I'm super intimate with my social media. So if you want to send me a direct message, ask any questions, you will get my direct feedback.
Awesome. Thanks, Jesse, for your time. We appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. And thanks for listening.